around the world. The Spirit is moving and a voice is being heard. Welcome to the Voice of Evangelism with David Langford. You can write to the Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. We'll give you that address again at the close of today's broadcast. But here now is David Langford.
Hello, friends. Pastor David Langford today. We'd like to take the opportunity to welcome you to this edition of the Voice of Evangelism International Ministries. Hard to believe. It is a new year, January the 4th, 2021. We welcome you this Monday, and we greet you in the most holy name of Christ, our risen Lord and our Savior. Amen. Let me say, first of all, I hope you are gleaning a plethora of information from this new series here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and we're exegeting verses 1 through 12. I pray that you are growing exponentially and that your knowledge is vastly increasing in the Word of the Lord. Now, as I said last week, I have now felt the release to start teaching on the new series, Preparing for the Coming Darkness. Preparing for the Coming Darkness. This is a very, very, very lengthy series. We start in Genesis chapter 1 about the darkness, about the mist, M-I-S-T, the mist of darkness, the chains of darkness. We're going to get into darkness that you have probably never heard taught or preached in your life. But there's a real dark world. And remember, it was Joe Biden who decreed and declared a dark winter. Darkness is in the area and place, sphere and realm that Satan does his greatest work. John 3:19, and men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. And the disguise and cover of darkness, evil, evil things happen. Terribly evil things happen. But regrettably, that is the world in which you and I now are living in. Before I get back into the message today here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 6, I know a lot of people are beleaguered, they're bewildered, they're discouraged, they're downtrodden, they're beaten up, beat down, they're just almost in a state, a place of hopelessness. Don't let yourself go there. Please, don't let yourself go there. Dark days are coming. As I said, I just got the release 2 weeks ago while praying to start teaching this. But even though these things are going to happen, you don't have to live in darkness in your mind, soul, and spirit. And I love this song written by Andre Crouch. Gordon Moat does a fantastic job on it, entitled Through It All. Through It All. God is going to help his people. Remember the darkness in Israel, or I should say in Egypt, during Israel's captivity. The darkness was so vast, so great, so voluminous. The Bible said the darkness could be felt. Now that's an oppressing darkness. That is a darkness that is heavy, heavy. Jesus dealt with that kind of darkness on his way to the cross. You and I have in no way ever encountered that gravity of darkness. But Jesus dealt with it in his humanity. In Luke 22:53, when he said, to the Roman soldiers when they came to arrest him. He said, "This is your hour and the power of darkness," meaning darkness has power. Darkness has great power. But I love John 1:5, "And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." The light dispelled and drove away the darkness. The greatest analogy, the most simple analogy I can give you, is to go into a dark room and turn on the light. Where did the darkness go? It dispelled the darkness. The light dispelled the darkness, and the darkness had no place to go, so it could not comprehend. It could not overcome the light. Now, in the natural, there may be a shadow in a corner, a shadow behind a desk, a chair, or something. But in the light of God, there is no shadow. James said, "There is no shadow of turning. In him there is no variableness, neither is there shadow of turning." In other words, when the sun turns, it creates shadows. If God turns, either way, any direction, whatever, there is no shadow. There is no shadow of darkness. I think you'll enjoy the series, but I also believe the series will be alarming once we get into the very depth and breadth of it. Listen to Gordon Mote today as he sings this wonderful, wonderful song entitled "Through It All," written by Andre Crouch.
Questions for tomorrow. There have been times I didn't know right from wrong. But in every situation, God gave me blessed consolation that my trials come to only make me strong. In a lot of places, and I've seen a lot of faces. There are times I felt so all alone. In my lonely hours, those precious lonely hours, Jesus let me know that I was His own. For the stones He's brought me through. Oh, if I never had a problem, how would I know that God could solve them? How would I know what faith in His word could do? That's why I'm up here singing through it all. Oh, yeah. In God, oh. born is holy.
Through it all, God has been faithful to his redeemed, and he will remain faithful to you through it all, in spite of it all. We have been addressing 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through 12, and we're picking up, beginning this new year, verse 6. And 7. Now, this is going to get somewhat detailed, somewhat lengthy. I will try my best to be concise and precise and proficient in my exegesis, that I do not distract you with too much verbiage, but I stay very accurate and pointed in helping you to understand this passage. Now, I've read many, many commentaries, but I've never read what I teach or what I want to teach to you. It's through continual searching the scriptures that God helps us to grow in grace and in knowledge. You'll not find one pre-tribulationist that is going to teach or that is teaching what I'm going to share with you for the next several programs. Not one. I don't care who they are, how large and vast their platform, they do not know this. They do not teach this because they are adamant and predetermined to stay in a pre-tribulation mindset, so they can't know the greater, deeper things of God. I remember after the 40-day fast in 1994, and I was questioning God, why can't men get over the hurdle? Why can't they see these deeper things? He said, because they don't believe they're going to be here. So they're exempt. So there's no reason to search it out. There's no reason to study it out. So they get to this hurdle, spiritual hurdle, and they stop. No need to cross it. No need to get over it. Why? Because we're not going to be here. Not applicable. But the truth is, it is very much applicable, because the epistle is written to the church, the body of Christ, to ascertain and have the knowledge and the vast understanding. Amen. So let's look at verse 6. And now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. As I said last week, this verse has troubled me for over 25 years concerning people who remain pre-tribulationist. It troubles me, it perplexed me, because the church at Thessalonica, they knew what the restrainer was. People that are pre-tribulationist will argue who the he is, what it is, he, the church, he, Christ, he, the Holy Spirit, but you never hear them say he, Michael the Archangel. And that's what we're going to get into and show you here. And we have that, as I said, on DVD, The Great Tribulation versus the Wrath of God. We show you all the trigger points that bring these things to fruition. Now, if the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is not here on the earth, why did the Apostle Paul, which is a brother in Christ, why did he reveal such great insight? Why did he bother to reveal such protocol to the church, the body of Christ, concerning the revelation of the Antichrist? Now, let me say something. I've got a young man, God bless his heart. He's obviously young. He's trying to grow in grace and in knowledge, and he sends me voluminous emails, stuff he's reading from other people, because he put that in the email the other day. So I know he's not getting this on his own. He's getting it from other people. So he's just taking what they're saying. Now, what I'm telling you, I didn't get it from anybody. I got it from the Word of God and through the leadership and unction of the Holy Spirit. The Pope is not the Antichrist. If anything, the Pope is the false prophet. They are two distinct, separate entities and beings. Now, there are those who are preterists. They may not want to go by that terminology, but that's what they are. And they believe all the book of Revelation has been fulfilled. If that's the case, somebody please help me to understand, where is the new heaven? Where is the new earth? Where is New Jerusalem? Why are my grandparents' bodies still in the grave? I mean, you've got to answer these questions. And you can't symbolize everything in the Bible. Some things are literal, some things are spiritual, and some things are symbols. Revelation 19:11, and I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. He that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire. On his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no man knew but he himself. He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed after him, upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp two-edged sword. Now, do you think there's a physical sword dangling coming out of the mouth of Christ at that point? No. That is symbolic. How do we know that is symbolic and not literal? Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to dividing sunder of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. A physical metal sword does not discern anything. That is a symbol. And you have to be wise and mature enough in the Word of God to understand when something is literal, something is symbolic, and something is spiritual. You have to be able to understand that. And I know from just plain old common sense, there's not a sword coming out of the mouth of God. His word is as a two-edged sword, the Apostle Paul said. Out of his mouth, John said, goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. He will smite the nations with his word. Psalms 107:20, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them out of all their destruction. God sends his word, and there is power in the word of God. I was explaining to my family the other day, it was during Thanksgiving actually, and I said, think about God formed everything out of nothing. There were no trees, there was no grass, there was nothing. He just spoke the word and the worlds came into existence. He made everything out of nothing. Everything in this studio is made from something. My microphone, my camera that you're watching, the audio, the lights, the recording equipment. Everything is made from something in this world. Your house is built by wood. Trees were cut down and made and fashioned into 2x4s, 2x6s, 2x8, 2x10s, 2x12, floor joists, rafters, trusses, closet doors, sheetrock, electrical, plumbing. That's all made out of something. The copper is mined out of the earth to make wire for electricity to run through. So when you plug in an iron or a blow dryer for your hair, you have power. God made all of this out of nothing. So if you're not mature enough in the Word of God, you will take something that's literal and you will try to symbolize it. You will take a symbol and try to literalize it. And I'm not saying I'm the smartest, maturest minister in the world, because I'm not. But I have enough sense to know you cannot just sit there and spiritualize what you want to, symbolize what you want to, literalize what you want to. You have to rightly divide the scriptures. And to say the Antichrist is the false prophet, or the papacy, the vicar of Christ, is the Antichrist, that's not correct. That's the second beast in Revelation 13. So why would you want to say that when we know the first beast is the Antichrist, the son of perdition, that Paul says here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 3 and verse 4? Verse 3, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalted himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. This is a person. There are those out there who say, no, it's not real, it's all symbolic. No, this is a person. He's called the son of perdition. How do we know? Judas Iscariot was a person. He too was called the son of perdition. This is literal. Then you have people who mess it up and say, no, that's spiritual or that's symbolic. And by the way, all of those people riding the horses following Christ upon the white horse, illuminaries, it's angels, it's not saints of God. Yes, the Bible does say, behold, he cometh with 10,000s of his saints in the book of Jude. But when you exegete what Paul or John is revelator saying there in Revelation 19, it's angels. So we have to keep studying. And as I said, the papacy, the Catholic Church, they have the greatest faith in apparitions of any organized religion in the world. And so the false prophet, which is different than the Antichrist, the false prophet is going to have the world to make an image like unto the beast. And the Pope, the false prophet, gives life. He gives life unto the image, that it should both speak, and as many as should not worship it should be killed. That is literal. It's a stature. That is the abomination of desolation that Jesus spoke of in Matthew 24:15. When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet. Now you see how Jesus reaches back hundreds of years ago to Daniel's prophecy and brings it forward to the New Testament and his teaching. Meaning it's going to be a literal event. See? And I heard one kook say one time, the daily sacrifice is the abomination of desolation. So that means if they start the sacrifices, they need to flee. They invoked their own tribulation. Well, see, that doesn't make sense at all, does it? This is what they've been wanting. This is what they're coveting. This is what they're desirous of. And once they get it, make the first sacrifice, now that's the abomination. I'm not going to argue it is an abomination to believe that there's salvation in a sacrifice. But that's not the abomination of desolation, because the abomination of desolation brings on utter total destruction and desolation in the entirety of the earth. It's going to get ugly, folks. It's going to get ugly and heinous. Now, not only will the church witness the revelation of these prophetic words by the Apostle Paul, but we will witness the protocol, how these things unfold, and these prophetic events, and the sequence of these events. You see, you can't get them out of order. It's like recreation. Genesis 1 is not the creation, it is a recreation. Peter lets us know that in 2 Peter 3, saying, the world that then was in the water and out of the water. So when Satan sinned, the deluge came upon the whole universe, flooded the universe. Jesus had to take it out of the water because it was standing in the water, and they had begun to separate everything and recreate it. That's the gap theory, Genesis 1. Verse 1. Won't get into that, but we have a teaching on that when we exegeted Revelation chapter 20 concerning the great white throne judgment, because the heaven and the earth fled away, and there was no place found for anyone to hide. And you go right into Revelation 21, verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. If the book of Revelation has already been fulfilled, why do we have the Pacific Ocean? Why do we have the Bering Sea? Why do we have the Atlantic Ocean? Why do we have the Indian Ocean? Why, if the book of Revelation is done fulfilled, why do we have all these oceans? I'm not being ugly. I'm trying to get you to see people are skewing prophecy terribly. And by the way, where is New Jerusalem? Where's this city 1,500 miles square? Where is it? I know Old Jerusalem is there. But that's why you have to have a new heaven and you have to have a new earth for a new Jerusalem. God is not going to bring this virtuous, holy city down on a corrupt earth and world. No, He's not. Because it's too holy. It's too pure. It's too godly. 1,500 miles square. My God, what a city. What a city. And those of you who want to tell me the book of Revelation has done been fulfilled, where is that city? We call it, I have no degree except a temperature of 98.6, okay? I don't have a doctorate in ministry. I don't have a Bachelor of Arts, a Bachelor of Science, a doctorate of divinity, a theology. I have none of those things. I just study, okay? I'm a student. I just study. But when I study the scriptures, I want somebody to tell me, where is this city? Where's this new heaven? Where is this new earth? Where is this earth without no sea? But they can't tell you. But yet they expect me to believe their hypothesis. I baptize myself constantly in the Bible, the Word, the Scriptures. You've heard me say this. I would put a Bible under my pillow. You can ask my wife. I know you'll say, that guy's crazy. But I would put the Bible under my pillow and sleep on it, and I would say, God, in my subconscious, put scriptures in my mind. I know you've probably never heard anybody do that. I've never heard anybody doing that. So you probably think I'm stupid because I do that at times. But I ask God, when I put that Bible under the pillowcase, let me supernaturally glean from the Holy Scriptures. And when people tell me the book of Revelation has done been fulfilled, or Isis was the mark of the beast, I'm having a trouble putting all of this together because it's not sequential. Now, here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, Paul the Apostle is giving the protocol, he's giving the sequence of events as they're going to take place and come to fruition 2,000 years before they ever happen. Now that is the accuracy of the Word of God. The tens of thousands of prophecies that God gave and how they none of them fail. Now think about what I'm about to say. Over a period of 2,000 years, actually more than that, you might say, we have all of these Bible, or all of these books in the Old Testament. We have all these books in the New Testament, yet they don't contradict each other. That's what validates the authenticity, the validity of the Word. Moses prophesied Messiah is coming, and it's going to be like me. When you see the magnitude of the accuracy, you have to believe. Now that we get to the book of Revelation, people say, now everything else has changed. It's all been fulfilled. Well, all of Isaiah's not been fulfilled. All of Ezekiel's not been fulfilled. All of Zechariah's not been fulfilled. But you expect me to believe the last book, A.D. 96, the book of Revelation, has already been fulfilled? You see, your common sense has gone out the window. Your ability to correctly decipher, to understand, is terribly flawed and skewed. Because we got books written hundreds of years before the book of Revelation, and the things in Zechariah, the things in Daniel, the things in Isaiah, they've not been fulfilled yet. But you want me to believe the last book in the Bible's already been fulfilled. I'm not being ugly. I'm not trying to create strife and contention. I love every one of you. I love all of you. But let me tell you something, a lot of you are lacking the baptism in the Holy Ghost. Sir, ma'am, do you have the baptism in the Holy Ghost? Have you been baptized in the Spirit of God? Because the Bible says the natural man, he receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they're foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Do we see the lion and the lamb, the lion and the lamb and the wolf? Do we see them lying down together? Do we see that? No, we don't. Well, that's in Isaiah 65 and 66. So if that's not been fulfilled, and now you want me to believe Revelation has already been fulfilled, you see, something does not correlate correctly. I tell people this. You hear me say this. When you don't know the Bible like you think you know it, then you cannot correctly connect the dots. They just won't connect. Now, you try to make them connect, but you're doing it through humanism. Now, I know that's offensive to some of you listening, but you have a humanistic mind. Your mind is not spiritual. You're trying to humanize and reason. You're human reasoning. You're trying to do this. That's exactly what men are guilty of. Mary was guilty of the same thing, human reasoning. Mary, you're going to have a baby. She said, how can this thing be, for I know not a man? You see, her human reasoning says, wait a minute, I'm a virgin. I understand how children are born. That there must be some type of sexual communication between a man and a woman, and for her to conceive. He must know her. She must conceive. She said, Gabriel, I don't know a man. How shall this thing be? See, her human reasoning was in the way. God knows that. God understands that. So God says, Mary, nothing is impossible with God. And so I have people all the time. And let me say this. When you're studying writers, what do you know about them? I know talk show hosts who curse and like sailors and get drunk and raise hell. Now, I'm not going to tell you their names, but you know them. You know them. You know, if I called their names, you'd say, oh, my God, I've been listening to that person and they do that. Yeah, they do that. They sure do. Yet they have the audacity to think they're qualified to teach. Now, my point is, the people you're listening to, the people you're reading, the people you're trying to understand their writings, what do you know about their personal walk with God? Remember, we're told in 1 Thessalonians 5, know them that labor among you. You know, once I find out things about people, and I know they're living sinful, degraded lives, I part company. I'm not going to be unequally yoked together with them. I'm just not going to do it. I pray for them. I love them. But I'm not a huckster. I'm not a shyster. I'm not two-faced, and I'm certainly not a hypocrite. And I don't curse, and I don't swear, and I don't do all of these ungodly things and then get on the radio and think I'm qualified to minister the Word of God. That is not right. That is wickedness. That is pernicious. That is sinful. That is degraded, and that is utterly debased. Yet they do it. Yet they do it. So you got things in Zechariah, Daniel, Isaiah, Bible prophecy that's not yet been fulfilled. Have you seen the Gentiles seize Jerusalem, ravish the women, rifle the houses, and divide the city? No. You've not seen that happen, have you? But yet you want me to believe the book of Revelation is already fulfilled. And you try to humanistically reason it out here, where, and why. Well, now, if you're going to do that, and I'm going to give you that, then you go back and you help me understand Isaiah 65 and 66. You help me to understand Zechariah chapters 12, 13, and 14. Do we know anything about the nations going up to Jerusalem? I said the nations going up to Jerusalem and worshiping Jehovah during the Feast of Tabernacles. Do we see that yearly? I'm not telling you something that I don't know what I'm talking about. Do you see that? Do you see that in the Holy Scriptures? Yet you say, well, Revelation's already been fulfilled. If that's the case, why isn't Revelation 12, 13, and 14 fulfilled? Zechariah 14, verse 16, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is left after what? The great tribulation. Everyone that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. I just read it. Right there it is. Do you see that happening? Have we ever witnessed that happen yet, all the nations? No, we haven't. Some good Bible teaching today, preacher. Thank you. And it shall be that whoso will not come up of all the families of the earth unto Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, even upon them shall be no rain. And if the family of Egypt go not up and come not, that have no rain. There shall be the plague wherewith the Lord will smite the heathen that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. This shall be the punishment of Egypt and the punishment of all nations that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. In that day shall there be upon the bales of the horses holiness unto the Lord, and the pots in the Lord's house shall be like the bowls before the altar. Have anybody seen that yet? And you want me to believe the book of Revelation has done been fulfilled? The last verse, Zechariah 14, verse 21. Yea, every pot in Jerusalem and Judea shall be holiness unto the Lord of hosts. And all they that sacrifice shall come and take of them and seethe therein. And in that day there shall be no more Canaanite in the house of the Lord of hosts. So, if you don't rightly, correctly divide the word, you come up with terribly, terribly skewed theology. And regrettably, we're seeing skewed theology absolutely everywhere. And again, you're reading people who are writing from a secular, humanistic mindset and not from an unction of the Holy Ghost. 1 John 2:20, you have an unction from the Holy One and you know all things. You have the Spirit of God in you. In you. I have people that tell me they're Christians, yet they smoke dope. Sure, go ahead and believe that. That's deception. Let me move on. The Apostle Paul gives us a plethora of protocol and sequential events here in 2 Thessalonians 2. Why bother to write this epistle? Why bother to give such detailed information in chapter 2 of 2 Thessalonians? Why give all this profound revelation, insight, and understanding, but the church is not here? We're gone. I shared with you last Tuesday, three times in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 12 through 16, Peter said, remember, remember, remembrance. Paul says here in 2 Thessalonians 2, 5, remember ye not. Don't you remember? Don't you recall? What does the word remember mean in the Greek? It means to aggregate. To aggregate means together. When you play golf, you have a scorecard. Each hole has a number that is par. If you double bogey it, it's a par 4. You took a 6. At the end of the 18 holes, what is the aggregate? What is the aggregate number, meaning the total score? Well, if you shot 10 over it, it's a par 70 golf course. You shot 82. That's the aggregate score. Paul is saying aggregate, collect all of this together. And then when he says remember, that means you need to rehearse something in the past that you heard, saw, witnessed. So he says bring it back to your remembrance. Did you know one of the great things about the human mind that God gave men is recall? The ability to recall. When I sit here and I can recall scriptures, I am so humbled and so blessed that God would give me that part of a brain that I can reach back into Revelation 19. I can reach back into Jeremiah chapter 2. I can reach back into Genesis chapter 1. I can remember, I can recall. Things are stored. They are like a repertoire. They are embedded in one's mind. Paul is trying to embed God's word in the mind of the church, the body of Christ, so that when these events begin to come to fruition, you can say, oh, I remember what Paul said. Let me prove that. Joseph in Genesis 50 is going to die. He prophesies to his brothers, God's going to visit you. You're here now in Egypt. You will grow into bondage. God will visit you. So he asked the brethren, do not leave my bones in Egypt. When you go to make your exodus, don't leave my bones, but gather, aggregate, collect all my bones, and take them with you when you leave this place called Egypt, symbolic of the world. Here's the fulfillment of that. Hundreds of years later, Exodus 13 and 19. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he, Joseph, had straitly sworn the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones away hence with you. Now, Joseph had prophesied the visitation of God, and he says, when God lets you go, don't leave my bones here. You aggregate, and I want you to recall and remember this. Moses was not there in the conversation of Joseph in Genesis chapter 50. Moses wasn't even born yet. Yet Moses knew the word of the Lord. So what does he do? Moses remembers. And before they get ready to leave, he says, we must carry with us the bones of Joseph. I've never preached a message on it. I thought about it. God even cares about your bones, these old bones. He cares about them because God is going to put sinew and tendons and flesh and muscle back on those bones in the resurrection, and that'll be a glorified body. If the church is already raptured out, what is the purpose in recalling aggregating and remembering all of these things. This is where common sense comes in. Why? It's because we're here. We're not gone. Now, verse 6. And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. The he here is the Antichrist. He is a man. Daniel tells us the Antichrist is a man. Daniel tells us that the Antichrist, his body, is going to be given to the flames of fire. Now, have we ever seen or witnessed anything of that nature? No. Daniel 7, verse 11. And I beheld then because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake. That's the Antichrist, the horn. And I beheld even till the beast was slain and his body destroyed and given to the burning flame. Now, if Revelation has done been fulfilled, how is it Daniel, hundreds of years before the book of Revelation is ever written, has a vision, a revelation, a vast knowledge and understanding of the Antichrist and the false prophet and the very words that we read here in Daniel 7 and verse 11, we see in Revelation chapter 19, verse 20. Now, you know I'm a stickler about connecting the dots. I say it all the time. See, you don't know about this dot, so it's left out of your equation, and that's why you miss the mark. Now, watch this. His body's given to the flames of fire, right? Daniel 7, verse 11. Now, let's advance hundreds of years now. Revelation 19, verse 20. And the beast, the horn, the Antichrist, was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. A lake of fire burning with brimstone. A lake of fire burning with brimstone. What did Daniel say in Daniel 7 and verse 11? And I beheld even till the beast was slain and his body destroyed and given to the burning flame. There it is. Yet you say, you're wrong. Revelation has done been fulfilled. I can't make that kind of skewed theology work scripturally. I can't do it. You're asking me to believe something that Daniel has prophesied would happen. John the Revelator prophesied it would happen. Yet none of us has seen it happen. Yet we have two witnesses, hundreds of years apart, Daniel the prophet and the apostle John the Revelator, hundreds of years apart, saying the same identical thing. It don't work. Well, you think you know it all. No, I don't. You think you're right. No, I don't think I'm right about all. I'm just telling you, when you read these books, Daniel, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Zechariah, and we all know they relate profusely to Revelation, and you want me to believe Revelation has already been fulfilled. I can't believe that. You cannot give me, if you gave me an encyclopedia of your own human reasoning, I can't make it work for you. I'm sorry. I'm sorry for you. Because you cannot separate Daniel 7 and verse 11 from Revelation 19 and verse 20. Because it says the same thing. His body's given to the burning fire, the burning flames. Then you get mad at me. Well, Pastor Lankford, he's hateful. He's hard. No. Listen, any good teacher is very disciplined and strong to help you to get it right. I don't want you to get this halfway right. I want you to get it as right and accurate as we possibly can according to the Holy Writ. And I get this profuse check in my spirit today. Man, I get this great check. You don't even know the people that you're listening to or the people you're reading. You don't know how they live. Yeah, I know you don't know how I live. But you can pick up the phone. You can call my wife. You can call my daughter. You can call my boys. You can call Jordan. You ask them, how do I live? Do I pray? Do I fast? Do I preach as best I can a pure, unadulterated word? Well, sure I do. You know that. And I certainly don't try to twist it, because that's a sin. I don't twist the Word of God to make it fit my human reasoning or mindset. That's what keeps correcting me. When I read like Daniel 7:11, and I see it in Revelation 19, verse 20, it's just another confirmation of the accuracy, how accurate God's Word truly is. And yet, no, Revelation's done been fulfilled. Well, Daniel 7:11 has not been fulfilled. Zechariah chapters 12, 13, and 14 has not yet been fulfilled. You'd think if the last book in the Bible has already been fulfilled, you'd think books 25 books before then would be fulfilled, wouldn't you? I mean, God is a God of chronology, a God of order. The Chronicles, that's plurism for chronology. 1st, 2nd Chronicles. Some books are protocol. Some books are history to us. My time is just about gone. I want you to understand. We're going to pick this up tomorrow. This is a great place to shut down for today and come back tomorrow and look at who the He is, or the restrainer, in verse 6 of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. There is a hinderer. There is a restrainer. There is someone that is holding back the revelation of the Antichrist. And we're going to talk about that tomorrow. Listen to me. And I was in prayer this morning. And I was beseeching, Lord, help me. I just want to make it. I want to make it. I do not want to miss heaven. I do not want to miss the right place concerning eternity. I don't want to miss it. And the Bible is clear, few there be that find it. And the reason few there be find it is because this is all about relationship. Listen, there are people out there who don't have a lot of knowledge about Bible prophecy or the very, very deep things of God, but they love God and they do righteousness. And according to Acts 10:35, God accepts him. But he's not a theologian. He's not a Bible scholar. He doesn't have access. People have asked me to give them Bibles. I've given people some of my old wore-out Bibles. They wanted them. I said, okay, here. I made a statement how many strong, exhaustive concordances I have. I've wore them out. People have asked me, would you send me one? I sent them one. You have to keep studying. Why do you think in 2 Timothy 4, Paul is about to be beheaded? He said, bring Mark, now he's profitable. Bring the parchments. Why? He keeps searching the Scriptures, because the Scriptures are none other than Jesus Christ. I don't see Jesus ruling and reigning from Jerusalem yet. That's Zechariah 14. Yet you want me to believe Revelation has done been fulfilled. And there's a 1,000-year gap between the second advent of Christ and the manifestation and the new heaven and the new earth. You need to be very careful who you read and who you study scripturally. Believe you me, the devil manipulated Adam and Eve in the garden and brought them to a place of decision. And the decision was, somebody's lying to me. Who is lying to me, God or the devil? Well, guess who they made the liar? They made Jesus the liar and made the devil the truth teller. And that was exactly backwards. Exactly backwards. This is why I'm preaching and teaching about the evil revolution. This is all going to come to fruition. Jesus said in Matthew 24, it'll be a time like it's never been before. We're not there yet, but we're getting there. Every day we're getting a step closer. Work on your relationship with Jesus. Make sure you're right with God. Make sure your hands are clean and your heart is pure. Listen, God don't tolerate sin. He made unfathomable provision by the shedding of the blood of His Son to atone for sin. Don't play with your salvation. Get your sins under the blood, be led by the Holy Ghost, and trust God for everything. God bless you. I'll see you tomorrow. Have a great evening. Have a great day. Thank you for your love, your prayers, and your financial support. Amen.
The Voice of Evangelism with David Langford is brought to you by the faithful listeners and supporters throughout America. If you're looking for an uncompromising message, we invite you to tune in each week to The Voice of Evangelism. For more information, write to The Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. That's P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020.